There are approximately 7,000 different species of bees in the world, 4,000 in North America. These vegetarians who process either pollen or nectar from flowering plants for their food descended from their much older omnivorous cousins, the wasps. Only one of these species has ever been managed by human beings, the honeybee, Apis mellifera, though they are not native to North America. I am a beekeeper because I love honeybees more than I can possibly express. Apis mellifera produces surplus honey, and this has been enticing to humans for thousands of years. Within this one species, there are many races. Some are golden yellow, some reddish, some yellow and brown striped, some completely black. The amount of surplus honey they produce depends on the length and depth of the winter where each race evolved. The African race of honeybees produces very little surplus, while those which evolved in Siberia produce hundreds of pounds of honey a year. But every race of Apis mellifera uses the sun for a compass, guiding their sisters to the light using communicative dances in the pitch dark of the hive. The honeybee colony consists of one queen, several hundred male drones, and tens of thousands of sterile female workers. None of the individual bees can survive for more than 24 hours outside the community of the colony, and none of them have much individual immunity to disease. The colony itself is a superorganism. The queen and the drones are the reproductive system. The hexagonal combs made from wax that the females sweat from their own bodies make up the structure, which is the organism's body. The female workers are the circulatory, digestive, and nervous systems, bringing in and processing food, removing waste, sounding the alarm, and fighting off predators, among other tasks. The hive itself, if not manipulated too much by humans, has a strong immunity to outside pests and disease, even if the individual bees are extremely weak. When this superorganism is strong in population, for us about 70,000 bees, when it is healthy and has surplus food stores, a collective decision is made, and the colony as a whole puts into motion the impulse to reproduce. The workers raise many new queen cells, and about a week before these queens emerge from their cocoons, half of the worker bees, along with the old queen, stream out of the hive, take to the air, and alight in what is called a swarm. They land on a tree branch or a fence post, unprotected and completely vulnerable, until they collectively decide on a new home. At this moment, death is just as much a possibility as life. And in fact, the swarm often does not survive the weather or predation without the protection of an enclosed space. My friend Tom Seeley at Cornell University found that wild honeybee swarms in the New York Arno Forest survive only 20% of the time. The swarm plunges from the perfect order inside the original mother hive into complete chaos. This chaos causes a state of feverish work and motivates them to start making new combs to create the body of a new colony all over again. Perhaps this is what I love the most about honeybees. When everything is going well, when they are the most comfortable, when they have more food than they could possibly eat, they plunge into the unknown and they start all over again.
We talk about bees as if they are monarchies, the queen, the drones, the workers. But it turns out they are profoundly democratic. Amy described how much of a collective they are, that the thousands of bees in a hive make one body, that they are stronger together than they are apart. And being democratic is a way of describing how a group makes decisions or choices. And when that swarm of bees that Amy describes leaves their home in the hive and flings itself out into the unknown, the queen does not decide where they go. It is the workers, the forage bees, who decide. Well, they decide together, ultimately. They decide by adhering to the ways of doing things that Tom Seeley, as Amy mentioned already, describes in his book, Honeybee Democracy. I put that book on the table in the community room if you would like to look at it. It's a beautiful book, and it's also full of wonderful things about bees and about life. Tom Seeley suggests that Robert's Rules of Order, which we use here, is a pretty decent approximation of how honeybees go about making their decisions. So the next time we have a congregational meeting and we're making a decision, we'll all have to just hum together for a little while to really get the spirit of it. And he describes several of the principles that he thinks organize bees and organize other democratic processes when they're at their best. And two of them are that you compose the decision-making groups of individuals of shared interest and mutual respect. And one of the other principles he talks about is that the democratic process seek diverse solutions to the problem. Well, we live in a democratic society, America, that is singing a song, is using the democratic process. And so thinking about the bees is helping me think about this process that we're all in the middle of. So I go back to the swarm that Amy described, out there on a tree branch, on a fence post. Sometimes they turn up on people's back porches, some little nook of life, buzzing, humming, not able to collect and store honey yet, not able to raise new bees, just starting over, just beginning again. It has to find a place to live and begin the whole process again. So the scout bees search out various possible locations. They fly in all directions, and they come back to the swarm, and they do their dance for each other, advocating for living in the empty wall over here or in the hole in the tree over here. And the bees advocate with vigor for the place that they think will make the best home. But they don't toss out other bees who are dancing in favor of other locations. They don't deride each other's findings. They just dance for their view of what would make a good home for this collective body. They are all united in the desire to have a safe home together. And this is one of the ways that bees have an advantage. They are in strong agreement about what comprises a safe home for their collective body. And what they do together is hear, essentially, a debate about the variety of possibilities for what would make a safe home for them. With luck, after a few days, they in fact find that safe place and take off together for that promised land, where the difficulties and sweetness continue to unfold for them. So when I see people protesting in the streets of Charlotte, around the plains of North Dakota, or the hearings taking place about bank fraud, I see a swarm now, a people who need a new home. It isn't quite the same as the bees, because some of these swarms have sort of been pushed out of a hive and been forced to make some choices that they might not want to make. And by home, I mean not a place to literally live, but a new system, a new reality, a new way of being together. The people in the streets are flying out into the unknown. They are completely vulnerable. There is not a new home ready yet. And they are engaging in the collecting of ideas and possibilities for what a new home, a new reality, a new way of being together might look like. What that song of America might actually become. Our current conversation in this country doesn't always meet the criteria of a group of people with shared interests and mutual respect. Or at least we don't always appear to have that. But we are hearing a great diversity of solutions to our problems. And the more I think about it, the more I think we too are a swarm. Although we are gathered in a building that looks a lot like a beehive, kind of a square white box with a small opening on the front out of which we come and go. But I think in many ways we're looking for a new home, in the sense that things are unsettled enough in the world that we're trying to figure out a new way of being in it. We have either chosen or been flung out against our will to find that new home. We may have to make that new home, make the world. If we are a swarm, and we are one body together, our lives depend on each other. And we need to hear the great diversity of thinking and experience that is in this collective in order to make a good choice about what the new home in the world will look like. And there are many ways that we have and will continue to do that. Certainly our gatherings, in which we use Robert's Rules of Order, which turn out to be Bee's Rules of Order, is one of the ways. And another part of the puzzle, I think, is an encouragement to small groups gatherings here. Because unlike the bees, we are not focused on just one set of work together. We are all over the place doing all kinds of things and only gather occasionally together. And so in order to hear each other, we need to be in smaller gatherings. One of the ways that I hope we might do that is by organizing ourselves a little bit around this new theme process. In the vestibule and next to Tom Seeley's book on the table in the community room, you will find a page that has a piece of Amy's reflection on it and some poems and questions about bees and these larger questions that come from the bees about living in the world and making choices. And those are good for just having conversations together. And our mentor congregation in the Leap of Faith program used sheets like that as a basis for some small group conversations. And I would love to have us have small group gatherings again. 8 to 10 people sitting together and talking about the ideas and questions that come up in worship and the transformations that are happening in your own lives. So I'm looking for a few worker bees, some bees that are willing to try out a direction and come back to do the bee dance. Perhaps I've stretched that metaphor slightly farther than it wants to go. I'm looking for a few people who are willing to lead some small groups at a time that is convenient for you. And most of the groups will be relatively short term. They may be 6 weeks long. So if you're interested in finding out what it might be like to have a gathering like this and talk about these questions together, you can let me know, or there's a sign-up sheet next to the Honeybee Democracy book, next to the sheet with Amy's reflection and bee poems on it. If you sign up, it just means you want to know more about the possibility of leading a group, and I'll let you know about that. And there are other classes and workshops and gatherings coming up this year. I want all of these groups so that there is time for us to sit together and actually hear each other, actually tell each other what is on our minds. We are facing a terribly uncertain time in this democratic experiment we are all citizens of. And it is tempting to be outraged and impatient all the time. And I think the more we can keep our hearts open, the more we can remember that we are together, the more we can be grateful for all that there is to be grateful for, the more likely we are to be able to find a way to live with fierceness and loving kindness.